Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Golden State pulled it out in the fifth game, while in the background, Bill Cosby's possible freedom is at stake. Jeff Sessions is getting grilled in front of Congress, and Dennis the Worm Rodman is flying to North Korea to try to save the world from nuclear warfare. Good morning. It's the 13th day, June. And a lot of stuff going on in the news cycle. And of course, got to congratulate the Golden State Warriors. They got an upgrade, though. They got an upgrade with Kevin Durant. And he is a 7 foot tall center who plays like a guard, who shoots like a guard. He handles the basketball like a guard. He is able to play defense like a strong forward. So he's just an unbelievable player. And it was very exciting. And it looked like that LeBron James might be able to pull it out again, but not this time, not with the firepower. Now, in the meantime, Dennis Rodman has said that he is going to North Korea to talk to his old buddy and see if he can make a little inroad for us over there. It's the kind of thing that happens apparently only in the darkest hour. And Jeff Sessions, who knows what's going on with that character, but he's taken it from the Congress. He's also taking it from Donald Trump, who's been a real critic of his. And so he's got his hands full. Now, I have a little clip for you here on Dennis Rodman. Hope you're well. Hope you're well today. And it's getting hotter out there, so time to dust off that swamp cooler, I think. Here we go.
Pretty stunning moment. Rodman is one of very few Americans to have met Kim Jong-un. He's called him a friend for life. Rodman also knows Donald Trump. Does this have anything to do with President Trump?
We don't know yet, Aaron, but this is really surreal. I was first tipped off about this last week and couldn't believe that Dennis Rodman is returning back to North Korea after that infamous trip in 2014 that was captured in a film described as a train wreck where he was drunk, out of control. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un canceled a meeting that was planned between the two of them near the end of the trip because of Rodman's out-of-control behavior, and yet here we have him again returning to the North Korean capital in the coming hours. We know that Rodman is the only American to have spent considerable amount of time with Kim Jong-un, who is a basketball fan. We also know that Rodman has appeared twice on Celebrity Apprentice, President Trump's former reality show, so they know each other well. And Rodman did say back in March, Aaron, that he would be willing to come here to North Korea to negotiate on behalf of President Trump if he was asked to do so.
I mean, it's pretty stunning, right? And these things don't just happen by chance. It's very fair to say he knows the president, he's friendly with the president, and obviously friendly with Kim Jong-un. Is the State Department giving any comment about this, Will?
When we checked with the State Department, they said they are aware that Rodman is coming here, but they stressed this is not an official visit. But of course it's not an official visit. He's not a diplomat. However, it would be difficult to imagine that there wasn't some kind of communication, especially given the fact that this is a very tense time. North Korea has attempted to launch 16 missiles just this year, on track to be its busiest year ever in terms of launching missiles. And there are currently four Americans being detained here, two professors at the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology, a University of Virginia student, Otto Warmbier, and also a naturalized U.S. citizen named Kim Dong-chol. And so will he be negotiating on behalf of these four detained Americans? We don't know, but we hope to find out when we ask him at the airport later today, Aaron.
We see that one right there. Now, here is a little bit from Dennis the Menace on what it's like to interact with one of the world's most most unknown and diabolical characters, a man who killed his own brother. And this is from ABC News from about 4 years ago.
Encounter. Top of the news in North Korea. The first American to meet Kim Jong-un, not John Kerry or even Jimmy Carter. Nope, it was Dennis Rodman, a.k.a. The Worm. They watch basketball. Kim is a big fan, but that was just the beginning. Some ice skating, too, an aquarium visit. Then a long dinner and lots of drinks with one of the world's most mysterious and dangerous men.
I love him. I love the guy. He's awesome. It was amazing how they were so honest.
That about a dictator who presides over prison camps, allows millions to starve, and has threatened to destroy the United States. Amazingly, Rodman now has more first-hand impressions of Kim than any other American.
There is nobody at the CIA who could tell you more personally about Kim Jong-un than Dennis Rodman, and that in itself is scary.
And Dennis Rodman joins us right now. I guess you don't find it scary.
No, it's not scary. It was amazing, man. Wow, man. You know what? It was such a great experience. Me and my, I call him my son, Elkin King. We went there, man, and it wasn't supposed to be like that. It was supposed to be like, just meet the guy and just have a good time.
And it turned into such an event. And I have to ask you first, when you said you love Kim and think he's awesome, were you aware of his threats to destroy the United States and his regime's horrendous record on human rights?
But one thing about that, you know what? I didn't look at all that right there. I understand what he's doing. I don't condone that. I hate the fact that he's doing that. But the fact of it is that, you know what? As a human being, though, he let his guards down. He did one thing to me. Been a friend. I didn't talk about that. I understand that.
Do you think you have a responsibility to ask him about it so that you don't be perceived as sort of propping up his regime, his cult of personality?
Well, the other thing I think, when you grow up in an environment, especially when your grandpa and your father, the one thing, the kid's only 28 years old.
You called them great leaders. You really believe that?
No, what I saw in that country, and I saw how people respect him and his family, that's what I mean about that.
Aren't
great leaders there.
Huh? Aren't they forced to?
Well, I say no, because I think he's going to change something, because he's just a different view. Because I sat with him for 2 days, and the one thing, he asked me to give Obama something to say and do one thing. He wants Obama to do one thing, call him.
He wants a call from President Obama?
That's right. He told me that. He said, if you can, Dennis, I don't want to do war. He said that to me.
Did you say, why don't you pick up the phone and call President Obama?
No, you know, it's a different story. It's a different story, because guess what? The kid's only 28 years old. 28. He's not his dad. Not his grandpa. He's 28 years old.
So you think he's different. What did he tell you about America?
He's his own dictator.
Guess what? The one thing.
He's his own dictator, folks.
If you see the clips or whatever, he loves basketball. And I said the same thing I said. Obama loves basketball. Let's start there. If you see the quotes in the papers, he says that. He says that by sports. What do you guys love basketball so much?
So that's one tiny bit of common ground. Did you get any sense from him that he was looking to change the relationship with the United States?
Well, one thing about him, one thing I noticed about him, he's very humble. He's very humble, man. As a kid, he's very humble. He's very strong as a man. He's very strong, but guess what? He don't want war. That's one thing he don't want.
He said in the past that he would destroy the United States.
Well, I think that's coming from his father. I think as a young man, he don't want anything.
What else does he know about the United States and President Obama from what you could tell?
Well, I can tell about him. He does one thing. He loves power. He loves control because of his, you know, dad. And stuff like that, but he's a great guy. He's just a great guy. If you sit down and talk to him, you know, perception is perceiving how things
work. A great guy who puts 200,000 people in prison camps?
Well, you know, and guess what? It's amazing how we do the same thing here.
We have prison camps here in the United
States? We don't have prison camps. Guess what? This is all politics, right? This is all politics, right? And the one thing, he don't want to do that. But you know what, dude? It's more like it. I'm not like
it's a family tradition.
But it sounds like you're apologizing for him.
No, I'm not apologizing for him. I think the fact that, you know, he's a good guy to me. Guess what? He's my friend. Guess what? I don't condone what he does. But as far as a person to person, He's my friend. Let's force what he does.
But
deal with it.
Someone who hypothetically is a murderer, who's your friend, is still a murderer.
Well, you know what, dude? Seriously, you know what? I think, guess what? Guess what? What I did was history. Was history, and guess what? It's just like we do over here in America, right? It's amazing that we have presidents over here do the same thing, right? It's amazing that Bill Clinton could do one thing, have sex with his secretary and do one thing, really get away with it and still be powerful. And
how
that's
can
amazing.
You compare that to prison camps?
No, prison camp do one thing. We don't need to do one thing. Object that. We don't need to object that. But guess what? We do one thing. If, like a friend to friend, right? It's a friend to friend. He's a friend to me. That's about it.
So you're going
to
go back?
Yes, I am. I'm going to go back, do one thing, and find out more what's really going on. Find out more.
Okay, next time you go back, you should bring this report from Human Rights Watch with you and maybe ask some questions.
Come on, well, you're killing the mood here. It was reported that when Dennis Rodman was over there that he was so drunk that he defecated in his hotel room. It was not a proud moment for Bulls fans or American diplomacy, but apparently he's gotten over it, that the little dictator has forgiven him for going absolutely ape feces, so to speak. Now, here is another person who had accompanied them over there. It's Kenny Anderson, NBA superstar. He regrets it. And this is with Piers Morgan.
Well, you know, for all these sporting stars to go out there and embrace this guy who is a pretty evil man running a very evil regime. Now, you yourself met him, Kim Jong-un, and you shook his hand, right? When you were doing that, I mean, did you not think to yourself, by then you knew the kind of furore that was going on. Did you not think, why am I doing this?
I know. I'm over there now.
Right.
I had no way, you know. I stay at the hotel. I boycott. I was cloudy. I'm over in another.
He still shook his hand.
I had no choice. I was going to do it regardless.
Why did you have no choice?
Because I feared, you know. You fear what you don't know, you know. And, you know, like I said, I got the phone call a few hours before
the game.
My wife was crying. She was like, don't play. She's scared of my safety. So I had no choice. When we got there, they took, you know, they take our passports away, you know. And I just, you know, I had to finish what I
did. You feel ashamed as you were doing it?
I felt bad. I felt very bad that, for my family. You know.
All right. So not everybody enjoyed it. But here we go. We'll take a little break here. Dire Straits, Water of Love. Hopefully this will put out a little love towards D.C. And they're really putting the Trump hate fest on a new level of urgency to get rid of Trump, treating Trump like he's Satan Jr. 619, 620, Kelly O'Connell, AM, Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450. We'll be right back to shift gears.
Water of Love.
All right, Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby, a real legend, of course, and it's not really going down too well for him, I must say.
Hey, it's Fred Albert, and I'm gonna sing a song for you.
I wonder if they ever did an episode on rape.
with me and all the gang, learning from each other while we do our thing.
It's Bill Cosby coming at you with music and fun, and if you're not careful, you may learn something before it's done. So let's get ready, okay?
Hey, hey, hey!
And if you're not careful, you might get a big pill to choke on. Here's Cosby's situation right now.
Deliberations in the Bill Cosby sexual assault trial this morning. They asked about Cosby's 2005 deposition last night. Jurors wanted to re-examine the section where Cosby admitted to giving pills to accuser Andrea Constant. Cosby is charged with 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault. He is now 79 years old, and if convicted, he could face up to 10 years in prison. Jerika Duncan is outside the courthouse in Norristown, Pennsylvania. Jerika, good morning.
Good morning. The jurors ordered takeout here to the courthouse and deliberated until about 9:30 last night. Now, they were left considering those closing arguments that revisited themes that we've heard throughout the trial. For example, the defense said that the relationship between Andrea Constant and Bill Cosby was romantic, while the prosecution implored jurors to look at this case as one about a woman who was taken advantage of and unable to consent. Bill Cosby was upbeat as he walked out of court late Monday night after jurors deliberated for 4 hours. Earlier that day, Cosby's wife, Camille, arrived in court for the first time. She was calm and appeared to smile as the defense spent nearly 2 hours making their closing arguments. The defense told jurors that Cosby had danced outside his marriage and that his wife deserved better, but that Cosby didn't commit a crime.
Mr. Cosby is very confident. He's confident in his legal team. This is the place where you come and get the truth.
Andrea Constant watched from the front row of the courtroom. The prosecution spoke last. They told jurors Constant spent a lot more time trying to forget about the alleged assault rather than trying to remember what Cosby did to her. Last week, Constant testified Cosby drugged her with pills and sexually assaulted her at his Philadelphia area home in 2004. While the prosecution called 12 witnesses, the defense presented only one, a detective who interviewed both Cosby and Constant in 2005. His testimony lasted 6 minutes. Throughout the trial, Cosby's team tried to weaken Constant's version of events and said Constant told a, quote, stone-cold lie when she told investigators she didn't contact Cosby after the alleged assault.
We knew that Andrea Constant's testimony would be a key factor in this case. How well did she do?
I thought she provided a very coherent, believable version of events. The problems that the prosecution has is that there are a lot of inconsistencies, and those calls after the event can resonate with some jurors.
The jury is expected back in court later this morning, and this trial is moving faster than anticipated. The judge told the jurors they could expect to be here at least 2 weeks. Nora?
You know why it's going so fast? The defense put out their theory of the case in 6 minutes. Now, some problems with the case for the prosecutor. Number one, this young lady contacted Cosby 54 times after the alleged rape. She sent him gifts afterwards. Another issue that Cosby tried to bring out but was blocked by the judge is the young lady identifies as lesbian, and they wanted to bring that out in which for the fact that her other relationship was with a man, was with a high-profile athlete. And they were claiming, or they wanted to claim in the defense, that she was only sleeping with men to be able to blackmail them. And so that was blocked by the rape shield laws that don't allow the victims or the claimed victims of rapes to be harshly criticized or to be harshly raked over the coals, let's put it that way, scrutinized for their any, you know, previous sexual behavior, that type of thing. So, and it is kind of, you know, kind of interesting. Now, the idea that the defense would rest for 6 minutes, why would they do that? Number one, it almost seemed like the guy didn't want to be defending him anymore, but it's possible that what they're doing is going for a grand slam. They either win, and if they hang a juror, then it's quite possible the state's not going to bring the case back. On the other hand, if the prosecution wins, it gives them something to bring to the Court of Appeals in terms of the idea of an insufficient defense and an insufficient representation. Cosby also talked about extramarital affairs and drugs in his deposition, and that they had used in this particular instance. And I've come back and give you maybe just a little bit on that. 6:30, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. Glad you're with me this morning. We'll be right back. Got some local news. All right, a little bit more about Bill Cosby here. Jury heard more of his deposition testimony.
Bill Cosby's sexual assault case has sparked debate over celebrity, race, power, and gender. But the brisk story laid out by prosecutors at his trial has focused mostly on what happened one night in 2004 at his gated estate in suburban Philadelphia. The jury, which starts the fifth hour of deliberations Tuesday, went straight to the heart of the case with its first question Monday night. Can we hear again what Cosby said he told accuser Andrea Constand when he gave her pills before engaging in sexual contact?
And the defense resting. Associated Press. Courtroom scene. Cosby walking. Six minutes, defense rests. I don't even know what's on the stupid clip, but all right, here we go. Here's Bill Cosby talking about himself as a dirty old man.
Hey guys, for Complex News, I'm Natasha Martinez. Friday brought a new perspective to jurors in the Bill Cosby sexual assault trial when they heard a deposition from the comedian and accused rapist. Cosby expressed fear that his alleged victim's mother viewed him as a dirty old man. The jurors were read transcribed phone conversations between Cosby and Gianna Constand, the mother of his victim, Andrea Constand, who was allegedly drugged and assaulted by Cosby in 2004. The phone conversations were made in 2005. The Washington Post reports that the deposition was compiled during multiple sessions in 2005 and 2006 and was read to the Norristown, Pennsylvania courtroom by a Montgomery County police officer. According to the deposition, Cosby said, "I'm thinking this is a dirty old man with a young girl. The mother is coming at me for being a dirty old man." The jury also heard a portion of the deposition where Cosby was asked about obtaining Quaaludes for a bad back in the 70s and giving them to women. Constand's lawyer asked Cosby if when he had obtained the Quaaludes, that it was in his mind to use them for young women that he wanted to sleep with, and Cosby answered yes. Cosby then said he misunderstood the question and was referring only to one woman, but then later admitted that he had given Quaaludes to multiple women. Cosby said last month that he would not testify, but now that it's been a week into the sexual assault trial, his publicist is saying otherwise. Nothing's ever off the table. We are weighing all our options. The prosecutors rested their case Friday afternoon, and the defense will get to call their first witness on Monday. As Cosby left, he gave a small group of supporters outside the Montgomery County Courthouse a thumbs up as he got into an SUV. That's your news for now. For more of today.
All right, and here's one last concluding thought here. Fat Albert and the Cosby kids go to prison.
How does it feel when that door slams shut?
It's hard to breathe in here. That's what it's like in here. You just can't seem to get enough air. What are you doing here?
Nothing except sit and think. I think about my girlfriend. think about all the things my old friends out there are doing. And sometimes I just sit and think about nothing.
How long do we have to stay in here? I'm in for 20 years.
No, I mean real. Open the door. Come on, man. Let me out.
Rudy, you've only been in there a minute.
Man, you don't know what it's like to be locked in here. Let me out.
Maybe the worst thing that ever happened to me.
Okay, well, we've seen the cell now. We know where it's like, so let's go.
So did Bill get scared straight from that episode? Apparently not. All right, so let us take a little further segue here. Some weather, local weather coming in. We're going to shift gears into probably Sessions. Sessions having his own session. 640 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces. Hope you're doing well. 523-1450. We'll be right back. Water of love. All right, so we've got here, we have from Newt Gingrich, testimony tainted from Mueller, and they're going after Sessions right now as we speak, but according to Newt Gingrich, because Comey admitted that he set up Trump to have to go under a special investigator, that has tainted the entire undertaking. And it's pretty obvious once that Comey said that there was no Russian connection, they should have shut the whole thing down. Here's Gingrich.
Author of the upcoming book, Understanding Trump, out this Tuesday. That must be a long book.
Yes, it's interesting.
I'm sure it is. Speaker Gingrich, I want to speak to you about something else, though, and I want to start with your tweet that I discussed earlier with Republican Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel. Here it is up on the screen again. Republicans need to focus on closing down independent counsel because it clearly isn't independent. What's your reasoning, and wouldn't that really look like an obstruction of justice?
Well, first of all, look at what Comey said. Comey said, I deliberately leaked through an intermediary to create this counsel, who happens to be one of his closest friends. Then look at who Mueller's starting to hire. I mean, these are people that, frankly, look to me like they're setting up to go after Trump, including people, by the way, who have been reprimanded for hiding from the defense information in two major cases. I think this is going to be a witch hunt. I think that Comey himself, by his own testimony, tainted this particular process. You have a director of the FBI deliberately leaking in order to create a special counsel who we're now supposed to believe is going to be this neutral figure. I think that's just nonsense.
Let me bring you in.
All right. And we do have another little clip here for you on a crazy idea. It may happen. It may not. Christopher Ruddy, who's the head, I think he's the head of Newsmax, saying that it is possible, and the rumor is out there, that Trump could fire Special Investigator Mueller. Check this out.
I think he's considering perhaps terminating the special counsel. I think he's weighing.
Yeah, I generally agree. I mean, I don't think it's a bad.
Pardon me, got another window here barking to life. So anyway, here is that from Chris Ruddy.
One of his lawyers said on television recently, I personally think it would be a very significant mistake, even though I don't think there's a justification. And even though, I mean, here you have a situation.
You don't think there's a justification for?
For a special counsel in this case. But also, I mean, Robert Mueller, there's some real conflicts. He comes from a law firm that represent members of the Trump family. He interviewed the day before, a few days before he was appointed special counsel with the president, who was looking at him potentially to become the next FBI director. That hasn't been published, but it's true. And I think it would be strange that he would have a confidential conversation and then a few days later become the prosecutor of the person he may be investigating. I think that Mueller should have not taken the position if he was under consideration and had a private meeting with the president and was privy maybe to some of his thoughts about that investigation or other matters before the Bureau.
So you know for a fact that Robert Mueller was offered another position before he became special counsel?
I know for a fact that he was under consideration and that the president did talk with him in the days before he was named special counsel. I think there's a conflict there. Look, my position is that Mueller is a man of integrity, but we all know in the history of these special investigations, they go far and wide. And they go well beyond what the original jurisdiction was. He's bringing in some of the top prosecutors that have worked in the Justice Department. This is not going to be rosy for the White House. And I have to look at when you say there's no – Judy, I think we both have to agree. So far, there's been no evidence of wrongdoing. There's been no allegation that the president engaged in any wrongdoing or any member of his staff did.
What do you think of that? Him, I mean, can you imagine the firestorm that would ensue if he went in and just fired the guy that's investigating Russia? But at the same time, there is no story there. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is the great and elusive Tekashi, Kelly. How are you?
Tekashi, good to talk to you. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
To know what were your thoughts. I was watching some kind of a report yesterday and talking about the fact that Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate and a couple of other of his private resorts and clubs he has, the membership fee went up since his inauguration from $100,000 to $200,000.
All right.
So pretty much all his fees doubled across the board.
All right.
So I'm trying to figure out if that's ethical.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of issues there, but I mean, he is the president. I would assume that, in theory, to rub shoulders at his club, the honor would be worth more. But I really don't know. I mean, you'd have to find out why. If it's true information, why it went up, what their justification was, I really don't know. I'd have to think about this whole area of his business and to the extent of how it is ethical or unethical. I mean, there's been a lot of claims out there, but, you know, basically, I don't know. I really don't know what to say. I mean, I'd have to think about it a little bit. It's not really a topic that interests me very much. I don't know why, but it just doesn't seem like it's that important. He's already a billionaire.
Yeah, and the fact that he tells people that he'll fall into their a marriage or something's happening at his resort, it's a known thing now that he might pop in. So it's almost like a celebrity kind of thing.
No, come on. So he's selling access to himself as president of the United States during their marriage. Here's this marriage.
Yeah.
You can for $50,000 a year, kid can be married at my club for an extra $100,000. The president will show up and have a few cocktails. Is that the claim?
Well, I guess that's what it's inferring, you know, allegedly, you know. And I'm just saying that's kind of tacky for the president to be doing that, right?
Well, I mean, with all of the lies and fake news out there, how do you know it's even true?
Well, they have a video that they showed on ABC last night, George Stephanopoulos or whatever his name is. They were actually showing him popping up to one of those wedding ceremonies. They have a video clip of it.
Oh, well, I have to do a little research on this, but I don't really, I don't really know. I'll have to think about it. It's a good question, but thanks a lot, Tekashi.
Yes, sir. You have a great day.
You too.
Man.
Bye-bye. All right. Who knows? I'm so sick of the fake news that, it's hard to pay any attention. But 650, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1455, 23, 1450. We'll be right back.
Yes, I need a little water of love.
All right. So what do you think of Tekashi's question, which is, should I think the implication is, should the president of the United States have to sell all of his businesses and then maybe put his stuff in a trust? Or is it good enough that his family is running his business? Is he selling access to, one of the reasons I can't imagine this happening is, you know, you can throw your wedding at my place, bar mitzvah, and for just a little bit more, an extra $100,000, the president will show up casually walking around, hand in one pocket, martini in the other. He will talk to your guests for half of an hour before he disappears on helicopter one. I just don't think he's got that kind of time. Now, I realize that he does go to his resorts over the weekends. He goes to New Jersey for his national golf course. He goes down to Palm Beach. He goes to New York City for the Trump Tower, and he's got a few others. He's actually got a piece of property that's for sale now in the Caribbean for something like $35 million. But I think that the president takes the job seriously, and I think that he's giving it his best. Whether his best is good enough, only time will tell. But here's something: laughter is the best medicine, with a few presidential jokes in it. From Andy Erickson, who also happens to be a female.
Next president is Mexican. So we can call the White House Casablanca. I told my mom that joke, and she was like, oh, it's so funny. Casablanca is such a funny word. And I'm like, do you know what it means? She's like, no. Like, you don't know what it means? White House. Yeah, right? I mean, that's a great joke, but I think it's so funny that she just thinks all I need to make a joke funny is just a funny word. You know? Like, oh, I hope the next president's white again. Chumbawamba. Okay, I want to do an impression for you. Here's my impression of a valley girl that's into geography. Okay, a valley girl that's into geography. The equator is like literally 0 degrees. Like literally. Like, so flat. That football player threw the ball across the field like literally. Like, it literally made like no forward progress. Do you guys know what happens to a Power Ranger when it gets hurt? He goes to the hospital, duh. And then he's like, it's morphine time! Yeah, I like the hospital. I think it's fine. I go to the doctor a lot. And I don't really mind. But I always hate when the doctor finds out I'm a comedian. Last time I was at the doctor's office and he found out I was a comedian, he was like, oh, well, laughter's the best medicine. Ha, 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 ha. I'm like, yeah, well, crying's the affordable generic brand. So hook me up with that. Oh, man. So, you can tell a lot about someone based on what their favorite class is. You know, like I was talking to a little girl the other day, and I was like, hey, what's your favorite class? And she said, upper middle class. I'm like, homeschooled. Do any of you guys hang blankets on your windows for curtains? Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, it's how big is your trailer? No, okay. Right? No, it's totally cool to hang blankets on your windows for curtains. No one cares. Oh, but when I start using curtains as blankets, everyone freaks out. My mom's like, what are you doing with the Venetian blinds? Taking a nap. Bring me some cookies.
All right, so 6:58, and so we spent a lot of time talking about Cosby and Dennis the Worm Rodman in North Korea. Do you think Dennis can stave off? Is it possible that he could stave off a war just by hanging out with Kim Jong-un, getting drunk? And to be totally honest, the rumor is that he got so drunk that he went up to his room and pooped all over the room, and he peed in the corner and everything. So he was persona non grata in North Korea for a while, but he got back on little Kim's good side, thank goodness. And so he's now ready to be a diplomat again. It's 6:59, just about. Kelly O'Connell will take you out with some Dire Straits Water Love, 523-1450 on the 13th of June. It's Kelly. Good, what's going on?
Emails from President Trump's staff members that they send, then I have no idea what's going on, because the media is so stuck on this Russia junk that nobody really knows what the White House is doing for all that other idiotic mumbo jumbo that they're continually reporting on that's not there. So it's a request.
Did you want to, you know that we're off the air right now. Did you want to call back at like 7:06?
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just going to request if maybe you can, once a day or something, just pop something in that the White House actually did with tax reform or something, because we don't get any news. I've stopped watching all of the, you know, the media channels because they don't report anything anymore.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Do you mind me asking, what do you do? What is your background?
I'm in the medical field. I've been in since 13 years or more. Right now, I'm one of the managers over at Mountain View Regional Medical Center.
Okay. Yeah, you sound like an informed person.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I actually love politics, and I get so riled up. My family's just like, seriously? But yeah, I'm really into politics and the news and stuff, so.
Okay. Well, you're welcome to call in anytime.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Melissa. Have a good day.
You as well.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye. 706 got an interesting call from Melissa, and she wanted to point out that the family business had been put into a trust for the, or had been basically signed over to the rest of the family from Trump, which I basically already knew that these people always do that who get elected to office. But so, but you know, I mean, he's 70 years old, 71 years old. He doesn't really, I mean, how much more money does he need? You know, I don't believe that he is being offered to hang out like a washed up celebrity at somebody's party. I just don't believe that. Number one, because he's got more valuable things to do with his time as a business person, if that was his goal. Number two, he's the president and he doesn't have any extra time. But anyway, in response to Takashi's question, but Melissa had asked if we could put out there the actual accomplishments of Trump, and the media is so deeply buried in trying to bury Trump, so deeply committed to that, and they're so caught up in this self-righteous mission that they put themselves on to destroy him that nothing gets through this thing. So, you know, Comey gets up and says there's no substance to the idea that Trump and Russia were involved. So what do? We continue on with this stupid thing with Mueller going after the Russia issue. So, I mean, what's the point of having open congressional meetings if the outcome ends up being that something is disproved, and by the way, we have to go with this disproved thing for as long as it lasts? So, you know, it's just, I was thinking about last night, to what extent Trump's problems are created by himself, and how much of it has to do with the idea that he is a person who has to be killed. It's like, you know, there was this sense that Sarah Palin, who I always bring up because I don't think Sarah Palin ever really did anything to get destroyed, but to a large extent, she's been destroyed in most people's minds in America. If you bring her up as a topic, people start laughing. She's a punchline. And for whatever reason that the left couldn't stand the idea of a competent female who was also conservative, that females have to be proxies for abortion and feminism and homosexuality and everything. And all of these things are basically these, what was the term I was using the other day? The shibboleths, these important, you know, absolute, the liberal party, the liberal movement is absolutely committed to the women's movement. It's indistinguishable, and homosexuality and abortion and a thousand other things. And they can't allow a crack to show in this. And so when a black person is a conservative or does anything to support the conservatives in any way, that person then is shouted down as an Uncle Tom. If a woman does it, a female who does this type of thing is not really female. That's how simplistic it is. Now we do have a call. Thank you for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, maybe you ought to consider the term karma. You want to spend $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000? We're paying you guys back.
Your
right
karma
now.
Ran over my dogma. You're paying us back for what? This guy got elected, and your movement is so idiotic that it's like they're gonna bring. They don't like. You know, it'd be like a bunch of kids in a high school don't like who's elected to student body president, so they try to burn the school down to make their point. It's totally idiotic. Why don't we get out of this guy whatever positive stuff he has in him and then move on? If you guys want somebody in, another Barack Obama, you know, nominate him and try to elect him. But why try to destroy everything because you just disagree with somebody?
Because he's an idiot.
Who's an idiot? Yeah, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I'm not going to let you talk over me like you usually do. I asked you yesterday to give me some proof, so make a point. You were coming up with all this stuff. I said, give me an example. You couldn't come up with an example. Your hatred, your blind hatred for this guy overwhelms everything else. It doesn't make any sense. Comey gets up and says there's no proof of any collusion between Russia and Trump, but we have to have this idiot Mueller go on with a 5-year or 10-year investigation into something that never happened. But you think Trump is an idiot, right? And you think that Mueller is on to something. Go ahead.
Didn't mind Benghazi for 7 years. So what? So now you got a problem with investigating the Trump or Twit?
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Yeah, who's laughable? Let me ask you something. If the liberal movement is so wonderful, how did you lose this election?
Because people are basically, American people are apathetic, lazy, and
You didn't have a bad candidate. You didn't have a bad candidate. You didn't have a failed strategy. You didn't have a worn out party that didn't stand for anything except for power, right?
Oh, so you don't stand for power.
That's not the issue, Frankie. That's not the issue. People were sick of the liberal movement. You didn't achieve anything with Obama in there for 8 years. What did you achieve? The one thing that you achieved was Obamacare, and it now has to be dismantled piece by piece because it's so failed. Your movement is failed. It has never achieved anything in world history. It has never, socialism has never been applied and worked anywhere. But you're gonna die trying, right?
Oh, really? How about Sweden?
We talked about this already. Sweden is not socialist. They're less socialist than we are. And to the extent that they brought in tax and spend high taxes, it ruined their economy. They came up with this great car company, Volvo. They came up with a lot of innovations for a country their size. It was phenomenal. And then the socialists got involved, and it brought the economy down. And the person who's in office now is a conservative and says, we will never go back to high tax and spend again. It'll ruin the country. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're laughing because you don't know. You haven't even bothered to do the research. It's typical liberal. To sit there and spout stuff off, and when you're challenged on it, you don't know the details. All right. Yeah, you know what, Frankie? You don't have points. You just have all these little clever slams. The Trumpster, blah, 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 blah. You don't have an argument.
Mr. Potato Head, Chucky Schmucky Schumer. I learned that from your guy, right-wing radio, Mark Looney.
Hey. Frankie, come on, man. People are listening to you. You're making an embarrassment of yourself. You don't have an argument. You don't have an argument. Thank you for the call. Have a good day. Ugh, I can't take it sometimes. All right, we'll be right back. Thanks for the call, Frankie. 523-1450. Once upon a Time in the West, which is also a movie. It's a great movie. All right, so let me ask you something here. Just a question just popped in my mind. We do have a phone call, but what are the specific points of why the left does not like Trump? We have a call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Jason.
Hey, Jason, what's up?
Hey, you're doing a great job this morning, Kelly.
Thanks. Thank you.
Hey, that last caller, he's always entertaining to listen to, but he always reminds me of an old comment. Certainty in the absence of knowledge can never be reasoned with.
Could you repeat that? You were breaking up.
Yeah, that certainty in the absence of knowledge can never be reasoned with.
Yeah, absolutely. So my question is, what is it specifically, because the left is so full of their hatred and karma, their karma going after Trump. What specifically does the left disagree with on Trump that shows that he has to be removed? What do you think it is?
Well, I believe that Trump doesn't toe the utopian line that these totalitarians are so bloodthirsty for, and therefore he's unfit.
Yeah, that's a good one. You're breaking up, Jason.
All right, Kelly, take care.
Thanks, you too. All right, bye-bye. So he doesn't kiss the butt of totalitarianism. So what is it in particular that Trump does? I mean, I think part of it is, I mean, let me ask you this. Why would Trump be unacceptable but Obama acceptable when Obama never showed any real enthusiasm for America? Obama had this routine where he would act like he was the smartest person in any room and come in there. And really, I thought it was just a con. He was a con artist. He was putting a con out there. He didn't really know that much, but he would always portray himself as being super smart. We have another call. Thanks for the call. Thanks. Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Please turn down your radio. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for the call. The radio on the radio. Okay. So what exactly was it that Trump did? And we have maybe the same caller. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
Morning, Kelly. It's Bill.
Hey, Bill. What's up?
I think the main reason that Trump scares the left is because if he's successful and manages to appoint another Supreme Court justice or two, he can swing the court decidedly to the right, and they quite possibly will undo everything that the left has done in the last 50 years, most of which has been done to the court system.
That's a good point. Thanks for the call, Bill. All right, so yeah. I think that's probably good. I think it's got to be more than that, though. There's a visceral hatred of this guy. I think, number one, we expect people in this culture to be manipulated or to be able to be manipulated. And we have these rules out there, these unwritten but very important rules called political correctness. If you've violated the rules, and we saw this during the election, you've got to be put proper. You've got to be put in your place. And so you have to go through some level of education camp. And Trump is not amenable to that. And not only that, he's not agreeable to that. He doesn't see things that way. But any mistake that he seems to make only makes him stronger. He's like Godzilla or whatever when they give him a dose of radiation and he grows stronger. So I think that's one thing. I think number two, people see that he's really sincere about his conservatism. Now, here's the thing that's kind of fascinating. There's many, many people who come down the road who claim to be conservatives. Some of them are, others are not. But of all of those people, even the ones that are, how many really act in a conservative fashion? Very, very few. They get buffaloed. We got another call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell shows this.
Sorry for calling back, Kelly.
It's all right, Takashi.
Such a quick point.
Go ahead.
I was listening to that Comey testimony the other day.
Okay.
It was riveting, by the way. It was like the Super Bowl.
All right.
And I noticed something he said about that conversation in that Oval Office, the one that everybody was asked to step out of the room.
Yeah.
So So here's the thing. I think Trump would be a great president, but I think there's an issue when it comes on to him and the legal ramifications of the things he wants to do.
Yeah.
For example, him asking Comey for loyalty in that office, if he could count on his loyalty. I mean, I don't know if that happened allegedly. I don't know why he would not see that as a problem.
I hear you.
A former attorney or somebody with some kind of legal experience would have known that would have been a problem. You see?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Now there is a flashback that somebody had posted that Obama had asked somebody for loyalty. I mean, what exactly does loyalty mean? I mean, he asked for loyalty from Robert Gates. But here's the question. What does loyalty mean? I mean, it's a little bit of an ambiguous term. It could mean loyalty means that you agree with everything that I say, or you have my back, or you're loyal to the Constitution. You're loyal to America. I mean, I think what he meant, a broad explanation for what he meant, is that Comey didn't appear to be loyal to anything and just did whatever he wanted. And he goes and helps Hillary one day and then he cuts her throat the next day. He's a loose cannon. And I think one of Trump's main concerns, and this is giving him the benefit of the doubt, but if he knew that there was no connection between him and Russia, he would know, right? If he knew there was no connection, he didn't want to be dragged into Russia over and over again and have this guy Comey stand up and say, we think there's some connection, when that's the type of thing that Comey did. What do you think about that?
I mean, you have a point there, but I would say that in regards to that word loyalty or that question loyalty, it's being asked to a quality controller, right? Which would technically make that conflict of interest.
Well, I mean, the FBI is like the private eye service of the, you know, with police power of their investigators and cops, their national cops for the Justice Department. I think we have over inflated their place in. Yeah. Well, their place in the whole order. They're not bigger than the Justice Department. James Comey made himself the biggest cop in the country, the biggest cop in the world. I think that Comey caused a lot of his own problems.
One more quick thing
that
I found very disturbing.
All right.
When he came out of that Oval Office and said to that Sessions guy, he was like, don't ever leave me in the room again with that guy.
That was pathetic.
And, that Sessions guy, they kept on asking him, well, what was his reply? What was his body language? And there was no reply to that. I found that to be kind of strange, too. So maybe you're right.
Well, I mean, look. Look, he all right. Look at the weak things that he did. He hid behind. He's 6'9". I mean, he's like.
Tall, really tall.
Yeah, what's the guy from the Addams Family or whatever the Herman Munster? He's like Herman Munster.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like an elephant trying to hide behind a VW bug. I mean, it's just ridiculous. He's gonna go hide in the drapes. He literally said that. He hid behind the curtains so he didn't have to talk to Trump. He had some stuff that he wanted to get out, but he was afraid to do it himself. So he had his best friend do it. He he's just got all these things that are weak.
It kind of seems like a guy who's pissed off about losing his job a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Cheap shot. He's a cheap shotter. He is, you know, he's an armchair warrior.
Something is going on. Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Tekashi. Yeah, you too. All right, here we got some local news for you, Kelly O'Connell. But I just think that he's a guy you couldn't have in office. See, man, he's unfit. He's unfit because he doesn't have the cojones. I mean, he might have been afraid to stand up to Trump to get in case he got fired, but he got fired, so it would have been better to go out with a bang than a whimper, you know. And this other guy, Preet, whatever his name was, this Indian attorney in American continental Indian, you know, from East Asian guy, Preet Bhumbara, whatever his name is, refused to take Trump's calls. And then he gets fired. And That guy says, I have no idea why I got fired. But it's immediately after he got fired, he launched into this like very vicious and long-winded attack on Trump. And I'm thinking that you need somebody to play that back to you. Or do you think that Trump is unaware of the fact that you hate his guts? I mean, give me a break. What? Why is it suddenly now we erect these standards that, people who are absolutely opposed to Trump have to be able to stay in office and work underneath him while they sabotage everything? This country is getting crazier by the day, my friend. 727, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450. We'll be back in just a second. Local news. All right, the question is, what is it about Trump that is so terrible that he has to be removed? And people like Frankie just seems like another liberal robot when it comes to this stuff. They've all gotten together and agreed that Trump is terrible. He has to go. But what specifically? I mean, being rude is not a reason to get rid of him. Being arrogant is not a reason to get rid of him. You'd have to get rid of everybody who's ever been in that office for the most part. Being overly ambitious is a job requirement. Being opinionated. A leader has to have an opinion. Being overly conservative, I think, is probably a good place to start. Now, I was doing some reading the other night. Five Rules of Propaganda came up. And this is from a book by Norman Davies called Europe, a History. Here's the five rules of propaganda. The rule of simplification, reducing all data to a simple confrontation between good and bad, friend and foe. Everything that Trump does is stupid. It's evil. It's ignorant. The rule of disfiguration, discrediting the opposition by crude smears and parodies. You know, obviously, Trump is a lost clown. He is a rich tyrant, etc. The rule of transfusion, manipulating the consensus values of the target audience for one's own ends. Manipulating the consensus value, I'd have to think about that a little bit, what exactly that means. The rule of unanimity, presenting one's viewpoint. This is classic. As if it were the unanimous opinion of all right-thinking people, draining the doubting individual into agreement by the appeal of star performers, by social pressure, and by psychological contagion. In other words, if you were thinking straight, if you were smart, if you were educated, everybody knows that Trump is totally unacceptable, a complete clown. I'm amazed to the extent that this idea that Trump is a bad person has been pressed into even the judges who are ruling on things like his travel ban. It's amazing to me how many people are mimicking, are parroting this idea. And the rule of orchestration, endlessly repeating the same messages in different variations and combinations. I think that's a great explanation for propaganda. It's easy to understand, and it gets to the heart. You know, one of the things that you do when people, and this is a characteristic of the left. Any science that disagrees with the left has to be discredited. Any person who is a conservative that is in the media, is in Hollywood or whatever, an entertainer, has to be destroyed. It has to be pointed out how stupid, how lost they are, how lacking in understanding. And so, we're going through that now. There's no end to it. Here's a little bit from Mike Huckabee. Democrats afraid Trump will succeed.
Governor of the great state of Arkansas, Governor Huckabee. Welcome back, Governor. All right. There you have. And I didn't even touch on in this case, because that could be a whole show. All the Russia-Trump collusion theories that were debunked. And I honestly don't know what to think. If this is CNN, this is NBC News. What do you make of what's happening here?
Well, Sean, if this is all they got nothing. And I mean, I think the one thing that we learned out of the Comey hearing was that there is no connection between Donald Trump and Russia. And we've been hearing that even from Democrats like Joe Manchin and Dianne Feinstein, who all said we see no evidence of it. And Comey affirmed that and made it clear that Trump was not under any investigation. But there are people who cannot let it go. But they hate Donald Trump. And frankly, Sean, if Donald Trump ran into a burning building and grabbed two children and ran out of that burning building and saved them, the New York Times headline would read, "Donald Trump runs from historic structure as it burns to the ground." That's how they would report the whole story. They're ignoring everything this president is doing, which is a lot. And all they're doing is focusing on a completely fake news, phony story, because they've gone from being really a biased media to a corrupt media. And that's dangerous to this republic.
And the American people are now beginning to see it more than they ever have. But that doesn't, it doesn't matter he wasn't under investigation. It doesn't matter that there's no evidence of collusion. It doesn't matter. But for 10 months, they have advanced a lie up to this point. Show me evidence, and I'm all open, open mind, heart, and ears. But it doesn't exist as of now. And they spend night after night after night pushing a theory to what? Delegitimize the president? Stop his agenda? Maybe ultimately get him removed for office? Is this the power of the Hillary Clinton colluding media now?
Well, it's obvious that's all they've got. But, I mean, there are some real questions that they could be raising if they were serious about it. Why did Loretta Lynch tell James Comey not to call the investigation an investigation and call it a matter? What were they talking about on the tarmac, Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch? Why didn't Hillary have any consequences for that unsecured server in her bathroom? And why no consequences for 33,000 emails deleted? I mean, there's a laundry list of things.
By the way,
there
is a Russia conspiracy.
Why no prosecution for Lois Lerner, for heaven's sakes, and the IRS? There's so many abuses of government power, and this had nothing to do with Donald Trump. He wasn't president. Barack Obama was. There's some things to investigate, but it has nothing to do with Donald Trump or his people.
Governor, good to see you. Thank you.
All right, I got your weather here for you. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450. Feel free to call in and get your opinion on the air. We'll be right back. All right, so what is it about Trump that is so evil, so terrible, so monstrous that he has to go? Here's Bernie Burnout Sanders, multimillionaire. You know, the guy's a socialist, but I want to see a socialist that gives all of their stuff away before they start talking it, lecturing anybody else.
That is today. Today in the White House, we have perhaps the worst and most dangerous president in the history of our country. And we also have, not to be forgotten, extreme right-wing leadership in the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate.
Now, that's a guy that wants to work with other people, right? Here's Molly Hemingway from The Federalist, who talks about the treatment, a whole class of Trump critics unable to accept the fact that he won.
Obviously, the administration wants to turn the page, but the president does keep kind of weighing in on this investigation as it unfolds.
Well, and I think Ivanka kind of spoke to something that a lot of people are feeling too, which is they understand that there is a lot of rage about this president, and they do want a little bit of pushback on this, and so I think they're looking for that. And I keep on remembering that last debate, I think it was, when Donald Trump was asked if he would accept the results of the election if he would lose. And he said something like he would wait and see how the election went. And we spent many days talking about what a threat that was and how damaging that was to the norms where you accept the electoral results no matter who wins. And yet here we are in June with a huge class of people who seem largely to be unable or unwilling to accept the results of an election and doing everything in their power to just gum up the works and whatnot. And so I think there are parts of this that are self-inflicted by the Trump administration. There's a whole heck of a lot of this that is about people just not being able to accept who won the presidency.
And the White House.
All right. So, I mean, that what exactly are people hating on this guy for? I mean, he's a strong leader. He goes over to the Middle East, and people almost worship him over there. he has had a lot of ideas that he's put in, others that he's tried, he's been resisted, but he, I don't know, he seems like a talented guy, and give the guy a chance before you'd say he's the worst ever. You know, this guy Sanders is a demagogue, because to be a socialist means that you have to be a demagogue, because you got to sell something that doesn't exist. Now here's Alan Dershowitz on the case that he has not broken the law.
Could President Trump be charged with obstruction of justice? Were Comey's leaks totally illegal, as a Trump tweet this morning seems to ask? Those are just some of the legal issues raised by Thursday's riveting hearing. To answer them, we have Elizabeth Foley, who teaches constitutional law at Florida International University, and Lawrence Strybe is a professor of constitutional law at Harvard University. Larry Tribe, let me start with you. Alan Dershowitz has achieved some prominence.
Actually, I don't have the stomach to listen to this, to be totally honest. Because it's in the media cycle, absolutely, permanently, that Trump is a bad person. It's been proven. He's broken the law. It's been proven. He needs to be impeached. That is just a fact. There's no arguments for this stuff. It's just this conclusion. So here's a little bit on Jeff Sessions going in front of Congress. I haven't even heard if he's going to testify openly or behind closed doors, but here's the questions that he's going to need to answer.
Judge Andrew Napolitano, what do you think the Attorney General will be? Do you think he'll be testifying in public or private?
I don't know which way they're going to go. It's a little bit of inside the beltway, in the weeds, whether he testifies before the Intelligence Committee or the Judiciary. My own view is Senator Feinstein is right. The Senate Judiciary Committee has lawful oversight responsibility over the Justice Department. The Intelligence Committee has lawful oversight over the intelligence community, not over the Justice Department. But it's an unusual testimony, because he's not going to be testifying as the Attorney General telling them about a probe that he's conducting. He's going to be testifying as a witness about what he saw and heard and did, not about what the Justice Department is doing. That is fraught with danger for him should he ever have to become a witness again. So the question is, has he already spoken to the person for whom he may be a witness, Bob Mueller, who works for him? This is a very, very unusual situation. Bob Mueller is beneath Jeff Sessions in the Justice Department. Bob Mueller is conducting the investigation that Jeff Sessions is prohibited from being involved in because he's a potential witness in the investigation. So if he's going to dispute some of the things that former FBI Director Jim Comey says, and he does this in private, it's not going to have the political effect that the president wants. If he does it in public, well, then the Democrats are going to try to embarrass him by accusing him of perjury because he supposedly didn't tell the Judiciary Committee about all the meetings he had with the Russian ambassador. You get all that?
Yeah.
All right. So there we have it. And what they're trying to do is catch him, impeach him on whether he talked to anybody from Russia, even though there's no Russia. Now there's no longer any Russia connection, if you can follow that. And they always say that it's the lying afterwards of a lot of these people that gets them in trouble. I don't think Jeff Sessions lied, but you know, you can get up there and claim that he did and try to destroy his reputation. I've got a couple more interesting clips here, but let's see. The first one, John Yoo was Y-O-O. He was involved in the government for Bush, and he said, and he was involved also in legal, I believe, if I recall correctly, legal issues surrounding the war, and he said Comey had to go because he usurped power. That's exactly what I saw, too.
We find out today that Jeff Sessions will testify in open session tomorrow, which I'm kind of surprised before the Senate. What do you think? Should he? Is it a surprise to you?
I think after Comey's testimony, he had to, because Comey is basically accused President Trump of removing him to obstruct justice. And if he does that, then how can the Attorney General, who actually recommended firing Comey, also not respond. So I think what we're going to find out now is, I think the real reason that Comey was fired, because I don't think that it has to do with efforts to cover up any kind of conspiracy between the Russians and Trump. I don't think the president's comments were meant to obstruction. And I think what you're going to hear is Sessions having his own opportunity to answer Comey. I think Comey tried to set this all up so he would have his own unexpurgated, unedited testimony, but without expecting any response by his superior, the attorney general. So I think Sessions could do a lot of good here to explain the rule of law and why Comey had to be removed.
And why do you believe that maybe Comey had to be removed if it didn't have to do with, as the president said, the Russian investigation?
Well, in a sense, provided all the evidence we needed to see. Here's a guy who's leaking memos over which there probably was executive privilege, if not classified information, to the press. Here's a guy who was taking away the power of attorney generals and even the president to make the final decisions on the executive branch's power to investigate and prosecute people for crimes. I think Comey was acting more and more outside the control of the people we elect to office to run our government. And so I think, especially after his mistaken decisions, I think three times in the Clinton email investigation, it was already time for Comey to go in January.
All right, we'll take our last break here and see what we have what else we have to comment on. 750 Kelly O'Connell AM, Las Cruces, 523-1450. Get your opinion on the air. All right, you want to hear a class act here? Here is Denzel Washington being asked about his opinion on the current situation in D.C. And just give me a second to cue this puppy up here. But I thought this was an excellent way that for a celebrity to handle their fame and the influence that it brings. Yeah, just a second. All right, here we go.
You take a look.
Check this out.
You're here in D.C. during an interesting time with the transition. You wound up supporting in the election and why?
I got to apologize. There is popping. There is basically kind of like sparking in the machine that's causing the popping. I do apologize for that. But they're asking Denzel, what's it like to be in D.C. during the transition?
Expenses.
Listen, he's out here promoting my movie.
He's with his wife.
How about this? I don't know if you saw it. There's a fake news story going around. It got thousands of shares online. You saw that. And I just thought you might want to clear it up because people are confused.
There's a few words that start with F and end with K, but that one ends with E, but it starts with F.
Yeah, but it's too vague. You got to be specific right now. F, K, and E.
What was the question?
Well, that was the question. Who you wound up supporting in the election?
That's it.
Presidential
election. That's none of your business.
None of your business.
None of my business?
None of your business.
Well, I'm only asking because the story was online.
So none of your business.
But that's okay. Let me ask you this. What issue do you hope President-elect Trump tackles? What's number one in your mind with the new administration?
I don't know. You know, I'd have to be more informed.
That's great. There's this other guy that I got the clip from, but basically, you know, there's this guy, Denzel Washington has got a lot of common sense and he doesn't misuse his fame to score cheap points. All right, so let's get a comedy clip. I don't know if this lady seems like a real amateur, but she does come up with a few funny things, but she's probably needs to work on her delivery a little bit. Andy Erickson, Anyway, great hanging out with you today. We can talk again tomorrow. What exactly is it about this guy Trump that cries out Satan or Antichrist? Or they're doing this theater, this play now, in which Trump is being killed every night on the stage. I think it's in a theater in New York. It's just extraordinary. I've never seen anything like it. Pat Buchanan is asking, are we getting to the point of civil war? Really something else. And Trump's number one critic is John McCain, the loser from previous election. I grew up in a park, Andy Erickson, a lady.
And she was like, I spent $70 to fill my tank. And I was like, whoa, you drive a tank. That's such a good deal. Those things are guzzlers, right? Just, that joke is called pretend you're a tank until the laughter stops. A while ago. No. Don't worry, guys. It's only going to get weirder. So when I was younger, I grew up in a theme park. Yeah. The theme of the park was trailer. It was pretty cool. Am I right? Yeah, Coon Rapids, represent! Yeah! Oh, man! I had a feeling you were here. Smells a little weird. No, I'm just kidding. It's cool to grow up in a trailer park, right? Like, it's cool. It's cool. Because you get to pretend like you're a movie star. You know, you can be like, if you need me, I'll be in my trailer. Just smoking meth and eating my cat. I'm thinking about opening up an Italian restaurant in a shady neighborhood and calling it Spaghetto. I told my friend and he was like, or Olive Garden. So, I don't want to brag, but I got hit on today at the bus stop by a homeless guy. He was like, hey, what's your sign? And I was like, we're not compatible. Yours is cardboard.
All right. So anyway, the question of the day, what is it about Trump that is so evil, so wrong, so mistaken that he was immediately identifiable as a Hitler before he came into office? He therefore is also the Antichrist, and therefore there's a religious duty out of the religious left and their own little cult called liberalism. There's a religious duty to take this guy out. What exactly are the signs that this guy's the Antichrist? Just curious. I haven't seen him myself. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, and have a great day. We'll meet you back in 22 hours. Ciao. AM Las Cruces, Kelly O'Connell. Breaking up the speed limit. Pedestrians for me. Crossing up the progress, driving on the grass. Leaving just enough room to pass. Sunday driver, never took a test. Oh yeah, once upon a time in the West. I just don't know nothing. Still gonna get you if you don't do something. Sitting on the fence, that's a dangerous.